Free, amen or not? Are y'all awake? Would you say amen?
Have you ever sitting beside somebody that did not say amen? Would you raise your hand? Yes. Have y'all are glad to be alive? Would you say amen? Have y'all sitting beside somebody who did not say amen to that? Would you raise your hand? Yes. Very good. Actually, very bad. But anyway, all right. We are continuing tonight with our study of the Holy Spirit. And I'll be honest with you, I'm just digging in and taking my time. All we're doing is survey work. That's all we're doing. If I tried to dig in deep on all of these points, I have no idea how long it would take me. So what I'm doing is I'm just surveying these major Bible doctrines. And we've started this one. I think this is part three to this actual doctrine of the Holy Spirit. But this is all under the doctrine of God, if you remember. And we're looking at two things about God. We're looking at His nature, His characteristics, and we're looking at His names. We've not even begun on His names yet, but we are currently under His nature. And the last thing that we brought out under His nature is that He is a Trinity. And now we've been breaking the Trinity apart, just preaching on the individual characters of the Trinity. We have preached on the Father, we have preached on the Son, and now we're preaching on the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I'm not going to have you turn anywhere tonight because I'm going to so many different places. And I remind you, obviously you're welcome to try to take notes, but I encourage you not to do that because I'm typing basically everything you hear. Except the ab living part here is all typed out, and once I get this doctrine completed on the doctrine of God, I'll make this available to you, and you can have all my typed notes, all the references, all of that. Okay, as a matter of fact, just to give you an idea, under the doctrine of God, if I get as far as I want to tonight, it'll be halfway on page 27 of typed notes. So I encourage you to be aware of this as well. Let's pray together, and I'm going to proceed here tonight. Father, would you bless in a special way in Jesus' name? Amen. Now, we're looking at the Holy Spirit of God. And on Sunday night, we began with His titles, and we began with His types. And now we are currently under His traits, in other words, His characteristics, if you will. We looked at two of these on Sunday night, and we'll pick up with number three here. First of all, we noticed the first trait about Him is that He is a person. He is not a thing. Don't ever refer to the Holy Spirit as it. Always refer to the Holy Spirit as He or Him. He is God. Secondly, He is God. We looked at that in detail. Now tonight, here's where we pick up. This is letter C, number three, underneath His traits. Third trait, number three, He was involved in creation. He was involved in creation. Now, Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 puts it this way. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now, get this. And the Spirit of God, there He is. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Holy Spirit of God was involved in creation. Job 33, verse 4 puts it this way, the Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. When you look at yourself and look at creation, the Holy Spirit of God was included in both of those. This is one of His traits. He is the Creator. Letter D, number 4, here we go now. He's the author of Scripture. Let me ask you a question. Does this book mean something to you? Has this book spoken to your heart and helped you through difficult times? Sure. Thank God for the Bible tonight. Matter of fact, that's why we exist, is to preach and teach the Word of God. We don't exist to tickle people's ears. We don't exist to entertain people. We exist to preach and teach, thus saith the Lord. This book here has meant a whole lot to me, especially during times of troubles and trials. It's amazing how God has me right where He wants me when I'm reading through the Bible. It's a precious thing when you know God is speaking to you from His Word. Has God ever spoken to you in a sermon? I hope you say yes to that. Has God ever spoken to you in your devotions? I hope you say yes to that. Has He ever spoken to you in a time of trouble? I hope you say yes to all of it. Yes, yes, yes. Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit of God authored the book that I hold in my hands. The Bible says in 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21, it says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. In other words, when the Word of God was being recorded, when it was being written down, when it was being inspired, God the Holy Spirit was moving the pen writer's hands along. He was. All I'm saying to you is that this blessed book that we hold in our hands, that we preach and we teach and we memorize and we love and we share with others, that speaks to our heart and encourages us and convicts us and tries us and tests us and comforts us, all the above, the Holy Spirit of God inspired this book. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:17, talking about withstanding in the evil day, talking about standing against the wiles of the devil, talking about the armor of God, take the helmet of salvation, you know, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth. In that context, in chapter 6, verse 17, it says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. In other words, this book is inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. This is the Spirit's sword. There have been all kinds of swords all down through the centuries. And some of them are nice looking, some of them whatever. But there is no sword like the one I hold in my hands. This is the Spirit's sword. The Holy Spirit of God authored the Scriptures. This is one of His traits. This is just who He is. Who is, what does He do? Who is He? What's His characteristics? He's the author of Scripture. Let me give you number five, this letter E if you're following me. He is good. Now we know this. We know that God is good. And we know He's good all the time. And we understand this also here. This includes the Holy Spirit of God. Psalm 143, verse 10 says this, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Thy spirit is good. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 20 says this, thou, talking about God, gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not thy manna from their mouth, and gavest them water for their thirst. In other words, Nehemiah is just reviewing with God what He's done for the Israelites, and he said, you gave your good spirit to them. You know, that's really one of His titles, but I put it under His traits, that He is good. You know, don't let us ever get over this. What I mean by that is this, where would we be if God was a bad God? Where would we be if God was out to get us? See, God's not out to get us. He's not a bad God. He's a good God. God the Father's good. God the Son's good. And God the Holy Spirit is good. We ought to rejoice in that tonight, that we serve a good God. And the Holy Spirit of God is good. Now, let me give you letter F. These are some traits here, because there's so much, just so much here. But these are some traits now concerning what Him related to Christ. In other words, I'm going to give you four things here that's part of His traits that concerns the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you four things here. This is letter F and the number one under it. First of all, He was involved in the birth of Christ. Now, folks, again, we're just surveying. Now, I'm going to a main thought. Now, that main thought, like I said on Sunday night, may be a couple of months from now, okay? But I'm going to a main thought. You know what that main thought is? We need Him. And we must do everything we can to make sure that we are filled with the power of Almighty God, His Spirit. But we're surveying Him, His importance, who He is. Concerning Christ, He was involved in His birth. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 and 20 puts it this way. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of what? Of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20 says, but while he thought on these things, Joseph, Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. He was involved in Christ's birth. Number two, he was involved in Christ's death. Did you know that? The Holy Spirit of God was involved in his death. Listen to this. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, through the Spirit, offered himself without spot to God. Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. In other words, he's talking here in context about how the blood of the animals and all that other kind of stuff would cover them just for a temporary period of time. Then he changes and says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. When the Lord offered himself to God, he was doing it through the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I don't understand that. I don't even know how to explain that. But that tells me that the Holy Spirit of God was not only involved in his birth, he was also involved in his death. Number three, he was involved in his resurrection. The Bible teaches this in Romans 8:11. Listen to this. But if the Spirit, capital S, if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. You know what that tells me? The Holy Spirit of God raised Jesus from the dead. Now, folks, listen, you say, how can that be? Because Jesus said, I lay my life down, I take it back again. How can it be that it says, but God, the Father, raised Jesus from the dead? How can it be that the Holy Spirit of God, it says, the Spirit raised Jesus from the dead? How can it be? Because he's a Trinity. He's one God. He's not three. They're all involved. Don't you see that? They're a complete unity. He was involved in his birth. He was involved in his death. He was involved in his resurrection. And then number four, just concerning Christ, this is one of his traits. Concerning Christ, he uplifts Christ. He speaks of Christ. He glorifies Christ. Now listen to these verses, John 16, 13, and 14. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. And verse number 14, Jesus said, he, the Holy Spirit, shall glorify me. That's what he said. Look here, please. The Holy Spirit of God will, listen, he did not come to glorify himself. That's not his purpose. Now, that's one thing, in my opinion, that Baptists have taken to the wrong extreme. Here's what I mean by that. He does not speak of himself, but that does not mean we should not speak of him. You understand this, that when we speak of him, we are uplifting his office and what he's doing in this world. Now, folks, listen to me. You show me any kind of religion that majors on the Holy Spirit at the expense of Jesus Christ the Son, it is anti-Bible. It is not biblical. We understand that the Holy Spirit of God, one of his traits concerning concerning Christ is that he uplifts him. He glorifies him. The Bible says in John 15, 26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, Jesus said, he shall testify of me. He's going to tell the world about Jesus Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit's doing today. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, 3, says, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God, no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. Show me somebody who downgrades Jesus Christ And I show you somebody who does not know the Holy Spirit of God. Now the Bible says, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, same verse, but by the Holy Ghost. Let me ask you a question. Do you say Jesus is Lord tonight? Inside your heart, do you know Jesus saves? Inside your heart, do you know Jesus saved you? And have you gone to Jesus and called him Lord Jesus anytime recent? You realize you can't do that without the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible says. He uplifts Christ. He is Lord. He is Master. He is Savior. He's Redeemer. That's what he's doing. 1 John 4:2 says, hereby know ye the Spirit of God, even every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Concerning Christ, just one of his traits, he's involved in his birth, he's involved in his death, he's involved in his resurrection, and he points the world to him. That's what he does. Everybody got that? Can we move on? Now, I know this is a lot of information. I get it. That's why I'm going to give it to you later, okay? It's a doctrinal series. Don't leave here saying, good night, overload, overload, overload. Don't do that. Don't do that. Because I know a study like this has that potential. I understand that. But we're just surveying. That's all we're doing. Just get a hold of this, because if you know Jesus, he's in you. And it ought to be something inside you say, whoop, that sounds pretty good right there. I like that right there. Let me give you another trait. Not only concerning Christ, but letter G, if you're following me. Let me show you a trait, some traits here concerning the lost world. What does he do with the lost world? With Christ, he was involved in his birth, death, resurrection, and points the world to him, glorifies him, uplifts him. Now, concerning the lost world, let me give you two things. Number one, under this, he reproves the lost world. He reproves them. The Bible says in John chapter 16, verses 7 through 11, says this, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Get this. When he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Now let me paraphrase this. The word reprove here, where it says he will reprove the world, the word reprove means to convict. It means to convince. And it means to tell a fault. That's what it means. In other words, what the Holy Spirit of God is doing to the lost world today is he is convicting of sin, he is convincing of the righteousness of Christ, and he is telling a fault that the devil that people are serving is a defeated foe. Now, folks, when you were lost, I hope you're saved, I trust you're saved, I trust that you know the Lord as your Savior. But one, listen to me, the reason that we are saved today is because the Father loved the world, sent his Son. The Son loved us, lived a perfect sinless life, died and paid the sacrifice, rose again. The Holy Spirit of God convicts your heart, tells you that it's only Jesus that you need, and if you have him, you're on the winning side. That's the Holy Spirit of God. He convicts. He convinces that this is the truth. And he will tell a fault. Don't give your life to the wicked one. Give your life to the just one. That's the Holy Spirit. Let me give you something else he does with the world. He not only reproves the world, but number two, he invites the world to salvation. He really does. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17 puts it this way. And the bride say, come. And let him that heareth come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. You know what the Spirit's doing today? He is uplifting Jesus, the one that he was involved in his birth, his death, his resurrection. When the Lord ascended, the Holy Spirit came down at Pentecost, and he's here to stay inside of his children. And what he's doing is he's convicting the world of their sin. He's convincing the world that the salvation through Christ is it. That's the truth. And that the devil is a defeated foe, and that we ought to give our life to Jesus Christ. So he stands with arms open wide, and he invites the world. It's a four-letter word, and it's a beautiful one. He says, come. That's what he says. He say, what's the Holy Spirit saying today? Come. Come. Whosoever's thirsty, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Thank God for the Holy Spirit tonight, friends. Let me give you a final thing tonight. We're just looking at some more of his traits. And these traits that we've looked at tonight is that, number one, he's involved in creation. He's the author of Scripture. He is good. Concerning Christ, he was involved in his birth, his death, his resurrection, and he uplifts him now, glorifies him now. Concerning the lost world, he reproves the lost world. He convicts of sin. He convinces of the truth, and he tells of a fault. He invites the lost world to come and drink of the water of life freely. And then tonight, this is not the concluding trait, but just the concluding one tonight, let me just get started on his traits concerning Christians. Now, we're going to be here a while, okay? We're going to be here a while. I'm going to try to give you three tonight. And all of this is just to survey the Holy Spirit and just say, thank God I know him and he knows me. Let me give you number one under this concerning Christians. He regenerates the Christian. He saves the Christian. He regenerates them. R.A. Torrey said this, the Holy Spirit has power to renew men or make men new. To regenerate. It's what it means to make them new. Regeneration is the Holy Spirit's work. He can take a dead man, a man dead in trespasses and sins, and make him alive. He can take the man whose mind is blind to the truth of God, whose will is at enmity with God, and set on sin, whose affections are corrupt and vile, and transform that man, impart to him God's nature so that he thinks God's thoughts, he wills what God wills, he loves what God loves, and he hates what God hates. Now, folks, listen to me. When we were born into this world, we were at enmity with God. We were enemies of God. And left in our flesh, unconverted, we will hate the things God loves and love the things that God hates. But when you trust Christ as your Savior, when the Holy Spirit of God convicted you of your sin, convinced you of the truth of the gospel, drew you to Christ, invited you to come to Him, and you said yes, when you did that, the Holy Spirit of God regenerated you. He made you a new creature. He put a new will in you, a new desire in you. Look here, please. If you have a desire to please God, and I believe you do, I don't think you'd be here tonight. I really don't. If you have a desire in you to do something for God, look here, please. That's not natural. That is supernatural. In our flesh, we would never want to please God. But in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in us, living in us, starts desiring through us. And we who are on our way to hell and living like it are now on our way to heaven and should be living like it too. That's the Holy Spirit of God. Listen to this. Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. When he saved you, he renewed you. Do you know that? He regenerated you through the Holy Ghost. The Bible says in John 3:5, classic passage that teaches this. When Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, remember, he says, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." In context, some people think water means the Word of God. I'm not going to argue that. I personally think he's talking about the water birth, the physical birth. Because Nicodemus said, "What? Can a man go back into his mother and be born again? Is that what you're saying?" Jesus said, "No, except a man be born of water," that's the physical birth, "and the Spirit," that's the spiritual birth, "he cannot even see the kingdom of God." I'm telling you, if you're saved today, and I trust you are, thank God the Father for sending Jesus. Thank God the Son for paying the price. Thank God the Spirit for inviting you to come to Him. Amen. And regenerating you. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:11, "And such were some of you." In context, it's talking about all these ungodly things. And says, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Isn't that a beautiful verse? "Such were some of you." Go back and read what some were. You were this and this and this without God and unholy. But now you're washed and sanctified and justified in the name of Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Number one, he regenerates the Christian. Number two, he baptizes the Christian. Now don't let that word baptize trip you up. All it means is place into. That's all it means. We baptize people in water. That means we put them into the water. But the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit of God baptizes us into Christ. What does that mean? In the New Testament, you know that the Lord is building a body. It's his body. And the Bible teaches that now Jews and Gentiles alike are all make up the one body of Christ. Let me tell you how that happens. When you trust Christ, the Holy Spirit of God puts you into that body, whether you're Jew or Gentile. The Bible teaches in 1 Corinthians 12:13, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." You know what the Spirit of God's doing today? It makes no difference if it's Jew or Gentile. He is building a church. He is building a body. He's building a bride that's all the same group. And it's made of Jews that trust Christ. It's made of Gentiles that trust Christ. And if a Gentile trusts Christ, the Holy Spirit of God baptizes them into the one body of Christ. If a Jew trusts Christ, he baptizes them into the one body of Christ. And Jew and Gentile are no longer separate. We are one in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know who does that? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does. Let me give you a final thing tonight about his traits, and we're looking at his traits concerning Christians here. He regenerates the Christian. He baptizes the Christian. Number three, and we'll stop here tonight. He assures the Christian. He assures us. He lets us know everything's okay. Can I put it that way? He assures us. Now listen to these verses. 1 John 3:24. "And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him." Now get this. "And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." 1 John 4:13. "Hereby know," not hope, but know, "that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit." Let me give you this one. Romans 8:16. "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." It's like this. The Holy Spirit living inside of you will be whispering, shouting, sometimes whispering, sometimes just in a calm voice, whatever it may be, every now and then, the Holy Spirit of God that lives inside of every Christian will remind you everything's okay. Every now and then, He'll remind you that the Heavenly Father is your Father. Every now and then, He'll remind you that you can pray yourself through the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody know what I'm talking about here, friends? I know that sometimes people doubt, join the crowd. If you say you've never doubted, I'd like you to sign my Bible. That's a normal thing in the flesh to doubt. But may I say this to you, for a true, genuine child of God, doubt cannot last. It can come in and try to sneak in, but it will not be there forever. Let me tell you why. Because the Holy Spirit of God will push it out. Now that doesn't mean that you're always on cloud nine. It's not what I'm saying. But if you're saved tonight, I think you know what I'm talking about. He witnesses with your spirit. And what's He saying? He's telling us, you are a child of God. Isn't that a precious thing? That's precious, isn't it? I mean that the Holy Spirit of God that lives in you is not silent. Now we can try to push Him out. You can try to snuff Him out. You can try to hinder Him. That's getting ahead of myself, okay? But He's inside just testifying, clean, forgiven, righteous before God, uncondemned. That's what He's doing. He does that in your spirit. He lets you know that you are okay, and someday you're going to see Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit of God. Now, folks, I'm going to be honest with you. I feel so unworthy to be preaching this doctrine. I mean, I'm standing in fear up here. I'm being honest with you now. I'm not talking about the fear. I'm just talking about, there's no way that we can fully comprehend this. There's no way. But as we work through these many, many things, I mean, how much have we already said about Him in two sermons? We've not even scratched the surface yet. And in all of this, we just need to rejoice. God, I don't understand it, but I sure thank You what You've done for me. I don't understand everything the Father does, but thank You for what You do for me. I don't understand everything the Son's done for me, but thank You, Jesus, for what You've done. Holy Spirit of God, I don't understand it all, but I thank You that You're in me. And I thank You that You put a desire in me to serve God. And I know that's nothing of me, that's all of You. That's part of His traits. That's what He does. He regenerates the Christian. He makes you new desires, new will, new burdens, a new creature. He puts you in the body of Christ. What a great privilege that is. And He assures you that you are His, the Father is yours, and you're on the winning side. That's the Holy Spirit of God. God willing, I'll start on this again on Sunday night. And the next one, I've got in my notes, just the next one here, and there's many more to come, is that He comforts and He strengthens believers. Do you know that's what the word comfort means? He says, I'll send the comforter to you. You put those words where you translate the word comforter, it means come along beside to give strength. That's what it means. You ever been in a place where you were afraid to take a step, but your daddy was there, maybe as a kid? You ever had your child wanting to go down the steps or something like that, and they're afraid to do it, but then daddy comes along or mommy comes along and they reach their hand up like this? And as soon as they grab mom or daddy's hand, they take off. Has that ever happened to you? Yes? It's happened to me. That's a picture of the comforter. Daddy came along beside to offer His strength. And when the child takes his hand, they can do things that they could never do without him. Amen. That's next. I'd like to preach tonight. I just did a little bit. But this is the next thing, God willing, on Sunday evening. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we thank you for this service. Thank you for all of these things concerning the Holy Spirit of God. What a blessing. What a blessing just to survey this blessed doctrine. Help us tonight now to be sensitive to your Spirit, to be led by your Spirit, to be filled with your Spirit. May thy will be done, I pray, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. Maybe you just want to come in reverence tonight just to say thank you for everything you do for me, Holy Spirit of God. I know tonight that he's not here to uplift himself, but there's nothing wrong with us uplifting him. There's nothing wrong with us glorifying what he does, because he's the one that introduced us to Jesus. Did you know that? He's the one that introduced Jesus to you. I'm going to ask Brother Gary just to begin to sing. And if somebody's here that's never trusted Christ, come. The Holy Spirit of God may be drawing you now. Come. If you just want to come and say thank you to the Holy Spirit of God, come on. If you want to come and say thank you to the Heavenly Father, to Jesus for sending the Holy Spirit, you come. We want to worship him in these doctrinal messages. May the Lord help us. Brother Gary begins to sing. You come now. As he sings, come on.
Spirit of the living God.
Be sensitive to him.
Fall
be sensitive to
fresh
him.
On me.
We need his power.
Spirit of the living God. Fall fresh on me.
Brother Gary, just one more time, we'll be through if nobody else comes.
Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Fresh.